First of all, to answer your questions, your common questions, your good questions, I wear earphones because I like to hear myself talk. I wear sunglasses sometimes because sometimes it's hard to handle what God is using me for in these last years, excuse me, in last moments of Millennium 6. I'm a broken vessel that when broken, perfume comes out. And I can only thank God for that. It's a marvel. It's a miracle. And it so happens independently of me, whatever, that I sometimes shy away from it and I hide from it. And yet I still have to let it flow. Now, today's talk is called Why the Snatching Away Could Happen Saturday, Part 2. As I told you yesterday, I didn't set the date of September 23rd. Nobody set the date. The planets set the date. Virgo set the date. The sun set the date. The moon set the date. Which means ultimately God set the date. God is in the business of bringing many sons to glory on the earth, and also many sons to glory in the heavens. For the earth, he's going to reconcile the earth to himself. He uses Israel. For the heavens, he's going to reconcile the heavens to himself. Also, he uses the body of Christ, a different group of people called out from all humanity, all races, all colors and creeds, not just Israelites. For some reason, God chose one nation, one race, one tribe, Israel, to shepherd all the nations of the earth. If you don't like it, I wouldn't complain about it. If you think it's racist, I wouldn't complain about it, because God did it. That's his way. That's the way he wants it. And that's the way it's going to be. If you want to get over it, then look at the body of Christ. It consists of all sorts of radically different people. God has luxury now of choosing unwise, weak, ignoble, stupid, whites, blacks, Mexicans, Japanese people, intelligent people, morons, whatever. Scum of the earth, mostly. Cracked vessels that he forces, when they're cracked, perfume comes out and blesses people like a torrent, like a river. And the cracked vessel is just sitting there going, that's interesting. That's the body of Christ. It's a non-racist. I mean, the Israel gospel could be accused of being racist because God did choose one race above all the other ones to rule the world. That's where you get twisted on that. People take the truth and they twist it. And really, all falsehood is just twisted truth. This white supremacy garbage. As though it's something inherent in white people that they're better than everybody else. It's ridiculous. In a godly marriage, husband and wife, the husband's the head of the wife. And the wife, when there's a contradiction, when there's a clashing of wills, the wife submits to the husband. Why? Because she's worse? Because she's inferior? No. When there's a yield sign on the highway, does the vehicle that has to yield to the other traffic, is the driver of that vehicle a lesser driver, a lesser person than the traffic given the green light? No. One lane yields. It has makes no commentary whatsoever on the worthiness of the vessel, of the car, of the driver. Nothing. Nothing to do with anything. Same with marriage, same with Israel. In fact, God takes the smallest nation, the weakest nation, the stupidest nation, and from that nation, he puts his spirit in it and runs the world through them. So, God is in the habit of giving the most ignoble part the greater responsibility. He does this. And the example is the human body. Some people say, I'm only a foot in the body of Christ. Ah, well, good for you. Then you're going to be given more exceeding glory. And Jesus proved this by washing the feet of the disciples. Why would he do that? It's the dirtiest part. And that's exactly why he did it, because it's the dirtiest part. Men wonder why they're given the headship. Oh, and the women wonder why men are given the headship in a marriage. Women think they're better. Sometimes they are. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. That which we give lesser honor to, that which is considered by humans to be inferior, God likes to take that thing and say, no, I'm putting the inferior in charge. And I think many times this happens in a marriage. Many men might be inferior in many ways to some women. But God puts the man in charge, and he rises to the occasion. It's like the teacher giving the class rebel a responsibility. Like cleaning the blackboards with that wet sponge. Gives it to not the most worthy person, but to the miscreant. And the miscreant is shocked. What? Nobody ever gave me any responsibility. Nobody ever gave me a break. Nobody ever cut me any slack. That's what the foot would say. I'm the worst part of the human body. I have to walk around all day in dirt, mud, slime. Sometimes I step on dog poop. I get all kinds of problems. Athlete's foot, bunions, corns, toe jam. And yet, the Son of God took me and made me important. Speaking of perfume coming out of vessels, how about that prostitute? How about her? Comes in with a vase full of attar, breaks it on the feet of Jesus Christ. Those who were with him were aghast. And the men were aghast because they thought Jesus Christ was stupid because they bantered among themselves. Doesn't he know what manner of woman this is? Freaking idiots. Self-righteous, self-important, assuming you're the smartest people in the room. It was the greatest scene of worship in the scriptures. Jesus accepts the worship, accepts the perfume, accepts the expensive gift, expensive stuff, pouring out on his feet. It was the craziest thing these Pharisees had ever seen, some of them. Crazy, couldn't believe it. That's the Christ life. That's the Christ life. That's our calling. Our calling's like that. I'm not saying our calling is a circumcision calling that accords with Jesus Christ when he was on the earth in his Jew suit. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the things that humanity despises, God esteems. The things that people think are ignoble, God esteems. The things people think are infamous and deplorable, undesirable, these are the things God sets up on a high shelf because these things give him the showcase to perform. That's why he breaks vessels and lets his perfume come out. Because otherwise, the credit and glory would go to the vessel. Oh, well, of course, perfume comes from that vessel. Look at it. It doesn't have a crack. It's been formed by a master craftsman, and it's a beautiful thing. But nobody wants the pressure of that kind of credit. Nobody does. It's hard enough to take when it's God doing it in you and through you. It's hard enough to take. But to think that it sourced within you? Preposterous. Preposterous. And unhealthy for anybody. The Apostle Paul, when he went to the third heaven and saw the body of Christ completed and saw himself glorified, he knew who he was. He knew he was flawed and broken. He came back to planet Earth after that, and he couldn't handle it. He wore sunglasses. And he probably wanted to crawl into a hole, while at the same time his heart was bursting with the glory of it. But it was such a contradiction to have the glory, to see the coming glory that we're going to have, that he had. He saw himself having it. And yet he knew who he was. So it became this crazy contradiction of, oh my God, I know what I am. I know what I have. And yet, how can this be happening to me? And so part of him gets so puffed up, or has the potential of getting so puffed up. And another part of him wants to crawl into a hole. And so I guess the crawl into the hole part is the messenger of Satan, really. That's probably right. It's probably the messenger of Satan, Paul said, was sent to him to buffet his flesh, to keep him from over glorying. These days, it's so assumed that people are self-righteous, self-interested, self-important, that when you glory in the glory of God, they just naturally assume that you're taking credit. Somebody once told me a story about a minister, and God told this minister, I'm going to make you a spokesman for me, and I'm going to make you a vessel of honor, but don't touch the glory. Don't touch the glory. But the guy somehow touched the glory. I don't even know how the hell you touch the glory. I mean, he became self-aggrandized, self-important, or something. He had that temptation. And God had to whack him down a few. But when you realize from the get-go, this evangel is so glorious and beautiful, because Paul says we have no confidence in the flesh. See, that gets you started off on the right foot. Romans 3 gets you started on the right foot. There is no one righteous, no, not one. We have all gone out of the way. There's no one seeks God. We are all like the tongues of vipers and snakes and snails and puppy dog tails. And so you need that information, because now Paul's going to tell us how glorious it all is. Now Paul's going to tell us how great we are. Now Paul's going to tell us what God's going to do with us. Now Paul's going to tell us how high the shelf is that God's going to display us on. Now Paul's going to tell us the power we're going to have. The only way you could handle that is if you have the previous information that I'm no different than any other piece of clay, including the famous and infamous Adolf Hitler, who always uses an example of, you mean to tell me Adolf Hitler is going to be where I am someday? Yeah, someday. But in the meantime, you're no different. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. Try taking that literally sometime. It'll change your life. You really listen to it and believe it. Another verse that'll change your life, I've told you this one before, but I can't get over it, is that when I'm weak, then I am powerful. When I'm weak, then I'm powerful. I find this happening over and over and over again with me, with my life. As I've told you, I almost feel I'm repeating this too much, but some people out there haven't heard this, that people think that they can't talk to other people about God. People think that they can't write to other people about God. People think that they can't put their own web channel, whatever you call it, YouTube channel, web page, blog, because they're just not good enough, or they're too weak, they're too stupid. And it's in the weakness that the power of God comes out. You can't not do something because you feel inadequate. You can't wait until you become competent. Well, you should become competent in the information. You should become confident in knowing what you're talking about. But as far as I'm no good, I can't talk, I can't write, Yes, you can. You have a unique voice, and people need to hear it. It's unique. Why should I do it? Everybody else has already done it. I heard A.E. Nock say this. A.E. Nock, a great scholar, great writer, and he was intimidated by the men who went before him, such as Bullinger, Paul. Paul wrote some good letters, a little wordy, a little issue with punctuation, but. And so you're intimidated. Why should I do anything? Because nobody's heard from you yet. You have a unique way of saying it, and you're going to put your finger on something that nobody else has thought of because you're unique and you have something to say and you deserve a platform if you know what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't say anything until you do. But once you know what you're talking about, go for it. All right. The title of today's show is Why the Snatching Away Could Happen Saturday. Now, I was in Romans 11, 25 and 26, and back there I will go. Because there's three things happening here, and it's a tricky interpretation. It can go different ways. The timing could. There's some minute things here that we could miss, and I'm not saying that I have the last word on this. I do have a word. For I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of the secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. There's three things happening here, and the timing is tricky. Here's the three things that are happening here. That callousness in part on Israel has come. Until the complement of the nations may be entering. So, I guess the first question we have here is, what does Paul mean by until the complement of the nations may be entering? I guess there's only two things we need to figure out here, because we know that callousness in part on Israel has come. That's a known fact. That God has hardened the most of Israel, callousness. They're like a callous forms on your hands or on your foot, speaking of the foot, that makes it insensitive to things. And Israel's insensitive to the truth. So that's a given. So it's the complement of the nations may be entering. What does that mean? And what does this mean? And thus all Israel shall be saved. According as it is written, arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be tearing away irreverence from Jacob. We need to know what that means, because the timing will depend on what that means. Does all Israel being saved mean that the 144,000 are going to be awakened? It seems like there's more to it than that. And then Paul says, and thus all Israel shall be saved. So, the complement of the nations has to happen first, because this callousness has come on Israel in part until the complement of the nations may be entering. So when the complement of the nations may be entering, whatever that means, then all Israel shall be saved according it is written, whatever that means. But there's a timing thing. One thing depends on another thing. Israel being saved according as it is written, that is coming out of the callousness, depends on the complement of the nations entering. So you can see how important it is to understand what is meant by the complement of the nations may be entering, and what is meant by all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. This is what it could mean. I think this is what it does mean. The complement of the nations entering is the body of Christ coming to completion. The complement is that which fills. A complement is something that fills something and makes it whole. A missing piece of pie joined to the pie completes the pie. It is the pie's complement. And it is entering into the pie. So the complement of the nations. We have had an evangel for 2,000 years wherein God is calling the nations. He's not dealing exclusively with Israel. So I believe this means the complement of the nations may be entering. Complement are the people. We're not talking about nations. We're not talking about Zaire or France or Mexico or Chile. We're talking about people. This is the complement of the nations are the people entering. What are they entering? This is another interpretive matter. They're entering, I believe, the body of Christ. So the callousness happens until, the callousness is on Israel until this happens, and then all Israel will be saved according as it is written. So does this mean that as soon as the last member of the body of Christ enters in, the snatching away happens, and then all Israel is saved? Now, if we think that all Israel being saved is Israel being awakened, is the September 23rd constellation coming on, if we think that's it, then you could say, then it's possible that the snatching away could be on Saturday. Because on Saturday, I believe that's the sign that God is now beginning with Israel. Some people think that God can't even begin with Israel until the body of Christ is gone, until the body of Christ is out of the way. Take the body of Christ out of the way, and only then will God even awaken Israel. So it's possible. I mean, that interpretation could be true. I don't think it is, but it could be true. If it is true, then the snatching away could happen on Saturday, because I believe Saturday, September 23rd, 2017, is the sign in the heavens brought to us through the agency of a piece of software called Stellarium that shows us the movements of constellations and the sun and the moon and their relation to one another. But I think it's giving that sign and the thing that's going to happen, that is that sons will begin to come forth from Israel. I don't think that is the definition of, and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. Because here's what is written. Here's the quote given. According as it is written, : arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be turning away your reverence from Jacob. So here, arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. This speaks of the actual descent of Christ to the earth, which we know isn't going to happen until after the tribulation. Okay, folks, I'm breaking into my own show here, and it's 10 a.m., which is why everything's different now. Well, the door is open. The dryer is running. I don't think you've ever experienced a show from the laundry room where the dryer is actually engaged and people could be coming in and out. So that's okay. I'm just going to do this anyway, because it really hit me the importance of the "and thus" here. For the rest of that show, I don't know if I'm going to play, if I'm going to join my own show in progress. I might. I don't know. For the rest of the show, I said how I thought more things had to happen in Israel for this "and thus all Israel shall be saved" thing. And that worked against the idea of a snatching away Saturday before the mere awakening of Israel happens. But this "and thus," it's important, because I'm seeing that now as the first thing that has to happen is callousness has to come off of Israel. And that, I think, is going to happen on September 23rd. Not for all of them. And it's tempting to see that "and thus" and think that, okay, callousness comes off of Israel, and thus all Israel shall be saved, as if that's one and the same event. But I don't think it has to be that way. "And thus" could be down the road. Like, I decided to build a house, and thus my house was built. The "and thus," it's not the same event as "I decided to build a house." The "I decided to build a house" is the formation of the idea. And the "and thus," it doesn't, the "and thus the house was built," it follows, but it's not the same event. For instance, I let go of this can of stevia soda, and thus it hit my desk and made a loud noise. I let go of this, and thus it hit. So it's more of a cause and effect, more instantaneous, more easy to see. It happens one thing after another. I did this, and thus that happens. But you see, it doesn't have to be right up against it. The thunder, the lightning flashed, and thus the thunder rumbled. The lightning flashed, and thus the thunder rumbled. It's instantaneous. So "and thus" could be that. But it could be a more distant thing. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, and thus we have Times Square. The light bulb led to that. It led to that. So what we need to ask ourselves is how, and I don't think it can be known. Now, with that in mind, that "and thus" does not necessarily mean an instant thunder and lightning deal. It could be down the road. Let's look at it in a new light. And I might play the rest of my previously recorded show, because in that I was thinking more that the "and thus" was a thunder and lightning event, which would, and I knew that "and thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written, arriving out of Zion shall be a rescuer." That's where I left off and broke into my own show. I said, well, the body of Christ can't be snatched away until that happens, if that's the "and thus." But the only thing mentioned here as far as that's waiting for the complement of the nations is callousness being on Israel. Let me read it again. "For I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering." And thus, because finally God has begun working with Israel, thus all Israel shall be saved. Why is all Israel going to be saved according as it is written? Because God started working with Israel again. So it still allows for a process, doesn't it? Yes, which is great. Which means that, hang on 1 second here. I have a call, but I'm going to take it in a second. See, I told you everything's happening here. You're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of my life. So now I think this leans more toward the possibility of the snatching away being on Saturday. It's now more possible in my mind, because I think I was misinterpreting. Well, not misinterpreting, but I was looking at it exclusively, this "and thus," as like you drop the can and thus a noise is made. I was looking at boom, boom, instead of Edison invented the light bulb and thus we have Times Square, you know, with all their magnificent lights, or Las Vegas. It's true, but it entailed a process. But the "and thus" is still legitimate. It's still legitimate to say that, just as it is the lightning struck and thus the thunder, boom. That's as legitimate as saying Edison invented the light bulb and thus Times Square with all its glitz and the electrical marvel sprung forth. All right, chew on that until tomorrow.